Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to the book of Genesis. We're in episode number 18. Today we're going to talk about marriage. This is from chapter 2, verse 24, really famous verse that goes through the New Testament. Jesus mentioned it, Paul mentioned it, and here it is. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So let's just break this down to help us. They are charged to leave. Leave what? Leave who? Well, leave somebody that I've been with every day of my life, which is a father and a mother. So the leaving is separating a unit of obligation and then joining a unit of obligation. So it's just like your parents did. They did the same thing. They left their father and mother, formed a unit of obligation amongst themselves. And this is the pattern that God has established. So both are of the family unit. Let me just talk about gender confusion right now. And that is, anybody can marry and anybody can make a family. But here on page 2 of the Bible, we find that God is not confused. If we're confused, my suggestion is let's try to bend towards the design and the counsel and the communication of God. Now, if you don't bend that way, I am so glad that you're here, and I'm so glad that you're listening, and I'm glad you're considering and curious. So if you're gender curious or family curious or divorce curious, I'm especially glad that you're here. So I think what you'll find is the family is best lived and functioned best as God designed it and as he intended it. So we'll find here a gender-specific, marriage-specific, family-specific, and theologically specific design of the family unit here. And obviously our culture suffers from all kinds of epidemics, one of them being the epidemic of fatherlessness. And so I so honor and respect people, young people who are in the thick of their family, you know, the hardest job that they'll ever love. And the Lord is saying, this is how highly I think of marriage. Okay, so let's just go back. The verse starts, therefore, and anytime that therefore is in the Bible, it's always referring to something that's in the past. And this is this special creation that man and woman are for each other. It's, I hope you hear each other saying is, hey, I search for you. I need you. I was on planet loneliness without you. You know, that you are my first rescue mission. The Eve is the first rescue mission launched into planet loneliness. And man saying, hey, I am thrilled that you arrived. Eureka, finally. And I so appreciate your creation and your mandate and your help. And you can almost hear each other saying, I value you in the highest, and we are made for each other, and you are my provision, God's family provision and sexual provision, and at last, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. So the therefore is all this excitement that happens before this. All right, one of the charges is to hold fast with each other. And this is a command and an encouragement for everybody who's been married for about more than 1 week. And it's, you know, just a principle of life that you get one life and one marriage. And I know there's exceptions to that and deaths and difficulties. Let's talk about divorce, because the divorce plays into here. Divorce is painful, financially ruinous, relationally devastating. It's a disaster for children. It's displacing. It's wounding. It's never ending. It rears its head every holiday, every wedding, every funeral, every big event. And I didn't get a word of that from the Bible. I got that from my divorced friends. Divorce is brutal. God hates divorce, and so do all my divorced friends. So this hold fast addresses the difficulty of the task that the Lord is putting in front of us. So you're going to have to fight for your marriage. Now, here's the problem. Is that all the candidates for you to marriage, none of them are saints. They're all sinners, every single one of them. And marriage has a special way of holding a mirror to yourself of sinfulness. So it's no surprise that there's going to be some work involved with this, holding fast. So working and moving and treasuring. So there's this offense where you want to move towards your spouse, forgiving and long-suffering and being faithful and meeting needs and giving your all to that person and contributing to a single purpose. Then there's this defensive thing where you're fighting to keep, you know, God's made this walled kingdom for marriages to enjoy. And you got people coming over the wall and you want to go over the wall. And so you have to fight for the wall. Then there's like, you know, skill building. You know, are you as good at this on your first day as on your last? Well, I hope not. The wedding day isn't the end. It is the beginning. It's the beginning of covenantal faithfulness. And it's our primary holdfast relationship in our whole life. All right, let's talk about one flesh here, which is the covenantal faithfulness is directly related to the sexual union. It's a good, real, no covenant, no sex. So God's plan is not less sex, but more sex in the right place. He invented it. He designed it. He made us anatomically correct for each other. He designed it for our pleasure. He designed it for children. And we can't properly understand sex outside of his design and his endorsement. And we have an epidemic of individuals changing their theology so they can change their sexual behavior. So the New Testament and the Old Testament now teaches us that bad zipper utilization is always tied to bad theology. So where can I get to know what God thinks about this? One man for one wife, heterosexual monogamy, being the divine pattern. Well, go to Genesis. If you want to, elsewhere, Jesus and Paul talk about it in the New Testament. So where can I be naked? Well, lots of places. And this is saying, hey, don't go there. But where can I be naked and unashamed and delight as God intends? Well, that's marriage and husband and wife and holding fast. So our identity and our sexual identity is given by God, unique, special, made for, helping each other, needy and need meeting. And so many of us have done this wrong, obviously. Is anyone not ashamed as they face this topic? Probably not. Grace is available, but not just poof grace. It's agreement grace. The agreement is, hey, I agree with the covenant established here, and I agreed with the big, little, and in-between violations that I have done. So help me to be faithful. Help me to be better. Help me to do this command right in Genesis 24. Thanks for listening.